the Savage Studios. This is the Savage Empire with your host, Mike Trainer.
This is indeed the Savage Empire. I'm your host, Mike Trainer. Good to be back. Good to have you back. And before we get started on the wonderful world of the Yankees, I just want to say a very heartfelt thank you to everybody who reached out to me on Twitter. In case you didn't know, I had to put my dog down on Monday, and it was, as you would expect, you know, very horrible. Just to get into it real quick, my dog had been suffering, I can't remember the exact name of it, but basically his back leg muscles were deteriorating, and he was pretty much at the point of not being able to lift himself. I had to help him get up, and he's an 80-pound dog. He was half Dalmatian, half Lab. So when they weighed him, he was like 80 pounds, a little bit more. So, you know, trying to lift 80 pounds of, you know, dead weight off the ground to get him up, to get him to go outside. He can walk once you get him up. But then he was struggling to relieve himself, and I had to help him with a brace to kind of take the pressure off his legs as he squatted. And it just became more apparent that the meds that they put him on was just not going to work, and he was in literal pain. And he just, you know, those who know, you know, your pet will give you that look like it's time. And, you know, so I didn't want to give him a month of trying to medicate him and, you know, hopefully would just get him to a state where he would be able to move on his own, but he would never really fully recover, and how long would it take? And, you know, there's always that fine line of, am I being selfish by keeping him alive for me and my family, or, you know, do I do the right thing? So I decided that he was gonna cross that rainbow bridge. And so I had made the appointment on Friday for him to go in on Monday at noon, and pretty much spent the rest of the time with him, you know, keeping him happy, and gave him a small pizza as his final meal, because he loved pizza crust, so he got to eat the whole goddamn thing, so he loved that. And so we took him in, and we gave him Hershey Kisses, which he gobbled, and a bowl of whipped cream, you know, and he gobbled that up too as they were giving him the shot to put him out, and then the next shot to, you know, send him on his way. And, you know, it was very hard, very hard. And specifically for my girlfriend, she took it really hard. It took a few days for her to bounce back from it. Not that we will ever fully bounce back from it. It's, you know, dogs are a part of your family. And so for me, it was more relief because he's not in pain anymore. And, you know, it is a pretty big hole. You know, coming home from work, I expect him to be on his dog bed, sitting there with his tail wagging and smiling at me. You know, the only dog I've ever known that would smile. And so, you know, he would smile at me, and you know, even though his legs were hurting, sometimes he would climb up on the couch and just, you know, to lay down right next to me, and, you know, I loved him. You know, we found him. He was abandoned, so I really have no idea how old he was. We had him for 8-9 years, and he became a part of the family. So it was just, it was hard. I have my other dog, which helps, so we're not, you know, it's not an empty house. But you know, we had both dogs for a long time, and I'm not here usually during the day, so I was told that my other dog is missing him. I wasn't sure if he would or not. So, you know, I'm a little sad for him too. But like I said, I posted it on Twitter, and I was overwhelmed by the responses from not just my followers, but people I have no idea who they were somehow saw it. It came up on their feed, I guess, and they responded. People who don't even follow baseball, people who are dog lovers, people who, you know, may be fans of other teams. And you know, you probably won't hear it, but if you do, I appreciate it. That wasn't lost on me. It was quite overwhelming. So now they now that I've spent 6 minutes talking about it, we can move on to the Yankees. So we are the best team in baseball. Who would have thought, right? It's been kind of crazy, you know, sweep after sweep, and then we won 2 out of 3 against Toronto. Although if you just saw what Vladimir Guerrero did on that last out when they won the third game of the series, you thought they would have won the World Series the way he was so animated and pumped. It was kind of, you know, embarrassing for them. But, you know, then again, it is Toronto, and they haven't seen a World Series since they won in, what, 93? Was when they won? Is that when they beat the Phillies? The Touch 'em All Joe? I think it was 90. Yeah, it was 93. Yeah, right before the strike. Okay, so yeah, 93. And I think they went back to back, so I guess 92 and 93, if I remember right. It's, you know, it's quite a long time ago, but that's kind of my point. So, you know, the kids today on that team weren't even born. That just, you know, goes what I'm saying. So I guess, you know, they won the World Series. Congratulations. So I guess we can cancel the rest of the season now. Toronto has won. They beat the Yankees 1 game out of 3. So they lost the series but won the World Series? That's a new one to me, folks. Maybe I'm going senile at my old age of 41. So I guess maybe these kids can explain it to me. But I don't know. It's just crazy. But anyway, enough of that, you know, as I'm dunking on them left and right. Fuck those guys. Best team in baseball currently. As of right now, yes, there is plenty of season to go. But this team has really gelled together. And Boone, you're going to have to give him credit, folks, has been making the right calls. It really hasn't blown up in his face. Pitching has been phenomenal. Apparently, we're the only team to use just 5 men in their rotation, I guess not due to injury or due to sucking. So our 5 guys have been going like fire. Cole is starting to bounce back. Nestor had a little bit of a rough start, but I mean, considering he only gave up, what, the 1 run? 2 runs? You know, that's a bad start from him. I'll take that every time. He's been quite phenomenal for basically a year now. And, you know, I keep waiting for the shoe to drop with Nestor Cortez, but it doesn't. And, you know, maybe I just need to accept the fact that he might be the real deal. It's just that, you know, he's a sneaky junk ball type of pitcher. He doesn't overwhelm you, but he can overwhelm you. And it's just, it's mind boggling. I mean, the 10 different looks he throws out there to these guys. And I love it. I am a fan. You know, I thought, you know, when we got him back the second time, I thought, okay, you know, we'll use him for as long as we can use him. He's never going to be somebody that they can really rely on. And maybe, you know, he's that guy who will go up and down and, you know, if you need a spot starter here and there. But he has been a guy who has taken his chance and ran with it. And honestly, if Herman was here, I don't think Herman makes the rotation because of how good Cortez has been. They trust Monty, even though he gets no run support. Tylon, they obviously trust. and coal is coal, you know? So really, it's just been, it's been crazy the way this rotation has been. And then the bullpen has been outstanding. And really, I mean, you know, they're not going to be perfect every time, but as a whole, definitely the best bullpen in baseball. And Chapman has been great, and we know he's usually good early, but if they can keep that going, they need to get Lasagna really back to form. That's probably been their weakest pitcher right now, which is kind of mind-boggling, but you know he's going to pull it around. So I'm not worried about that. But the biggest surprise has been how great and dominant Michael King has been. And whether he will end up becoming a starter at some point, personally, I love him where he's at right now. And as long as injuries or circumstance doesn't happen, they can keep him there all year. And great. Because I'd rather keep him there. And if need be, have Clark Schmidt step into the rotation, because he's been pretty good too. And only because King, who has been one of the best relievers in baseball, is phenomenal. And he's multi-purpose. So, like, if you need him in late innings, he can do it. If you need him to stretch him out, he can do it. He's the perfect bullpen pitcher right now because he can take the pressure off of the other arms. And it's been absolutely perfect the way Boone and the MVP, Matt Blake, has been, you know, juggling this bullpen around. The rotation in the infield has been working out. DJ's still getting his at-bats. They've been able to manage, you know, Glaber and Donaldson, you know, between getting them days off. And really, the only reason why that's been able to work is because Stanton has been able to play the outfield a lot. And I love that. And you saw that crash into the wall he made catching that ball the other night. And he didn't shatter. Imagine that. He didn't explode with injury. He got up. He threw the ball to the infield. And he played the rest of the game. And he's been playing ever since. And he's been good. He hits better when he's an outfielder. And I love it. I love it. This has been the best case scenario so far. They have not missed. But Hicks is coming along. You know, the power's not there yet, but he's starting to hit. Judge is Judge. You know, the outfield looks good. And then when Gallo's, you know, taking a rest, you can move Hicks to left and Judge in center, and that's been great. So, you know, this team is hitting on all cylinders. And I love it. And, you know, ultimately, there will be a slump. There always is. A couple guys here and there. And, you know, they'll take some bad losses, I'm sure. And you'll be screaming at Cashman again. But this team is different than last year. I'm not so sure if they're, you know, World Series bound or if they're World Series winning caliber, but they could be a really dangerous team. But there's going to be moves to be made, because I think if the Yankees are where they expect to be, Cashman is going to look to strengthen this team. So where is he going to look? Well, the one glaring area of need is catcher. Because Trevino, who was signed basically as an emergency player because Rorvit getting hurt, you know, he was supposed to just be here until Rorvit comes back. Now, I don't know what the hell's going on with him. I assume he's still hurt because they haven't said anything about him. He's basically taken over the starting job over Higgy. And that shouldn't be, because Higgy has been, you know, he was supposed to be the guy. And if you saw him in spring training, he was Babe Ruth. And then the season started and he's been garbage. And even defensively, he hasn't been as good. So, I mean, Trevino, who's one of the best framers in the league, I think he's the second best in the league, is getting the start, because you know how much they love that. and they'll take whatever offense he gives them. But where do you go? And the one name you have to assume who is possibly going to be available at trade is Sean Murphy with the Oakland A's. Now, he bats right. He throws right. He is currently hitting, let's see what his stats are right now. 24 games, 12 runs, 19 hits out of 92 at bats, 7 doubles, 1 triple, 4 home runs, 15 ribbies, 5 walks, 30 strikeouts. That's not bad. Batting average 207, on base 260, slugging 435, OPS 695. Now, granted, it's early, but he's going to hit roughly around 750 OPS. If he has a really good year, you know, probably about 800, which is pretty goddamn good. He's only 27 years old. So, I mean, this is right around the time where these guys start to break out. Metrically, he is the fourth best framer in baseball. And if you're looking at where Higgy is, I was surprised because I was in, you know, this is just scrolling down the list. I saw him at number 41. That, to me, is, whew, they have to upgrade at catcher. Whether they think offensively or strictly defense, I can't imagine them going to war in the playoffs with Higashioka and Trevino, at least with one of them being gone. The way it's going, I'd rather keep Trevino because defensively he's been better. Higgy's starting to hit a little bit, but if he doesn't really pour it on and he keeps at this pace, I mean, he is 32 years old, so there's not much reason to keep him. He's not long-term for this team. So that's definitely an area. Maybe a Wilson Contreras, who probably will be available too. I'm sure there'll be some veterans out there they can get. It's just a matter of what it's going to cost. You know, there's always the Yankee tax, especially around the trade deadline time. So we'll have to see what it's gonna cost. Because I doubt they're gonna look to go into the playoffs with this. Are they going to move Glaber? Are they going to move Joey Gallo? Now, Glaber has trade value. I would wish that they can keep him, but who knows what they're going to do. He's starting to hit better, and I think the confidence is starting to come back into him. And if we can get, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Glaber, then this team is really going to take off. Because defensively, he's going to start playing better, and he's been pretty good this year at second. I don't ever want to see him play short anymore, and he doesn't want to play it, so they should really stop doing that. But he is starting to hit. He had that walk-off hit, and confidence is growing. And when he's confident, he's a good fucking player. And so I would like to keep that going. Personally, sadly, DJ is a better second baseman, so I'd rather him be in his natural position, but he's been playing third pretty good too, but the problem is one of these guys is always going to sit. And when Kainerfelefa needs a day off, Marwin Gonzalez is going to play short unless Glaber, Donaldson, and DJ are all on a tear. You might have to have Glaber go to short just to keep his bat in the lineup, which I don't like because I feel like if he makes an error, the confidence is going to go out the window, which will impede his batting, and it's a recipe for disaster. But, like I said, Boone has been making the right calls. So until this stuff blows up in his face, and I hope it doesn't, we have to trust him. All right? We have to trust him. Because the rotation has worked. He's been knowing when to sit these guys, and then they usually get a bat at the end of the game if need be. So they're kind of like getting a half day off. Stanton playing in the outfield has been great for this team, which allows them to open up that DH spot. So things have been working out great when this team is just healthy right now. And that's always the key with this team. If they can stay healthy, they can be dangerous. So health is very key. And like the rotation has been working. So say what you want. You know, you get pissed off when you don't see one of these guys in the lineup. But that's how it's going to be. You can't bat 10. So somebody's going to have a day off. So, when the rain goes away and they actually get back to playing Texas this week, we'll see who's in the lineup every day. But somebody has to be out. And you know what? We just trust that it'll work. Even when it's, Judge getting the day off. Or Gallo, or Hicks, or Stanton gets a day off. Or DJ gets a day off. Which, pretty much the rotation revolves around where they need to put DJ in. And, Rizzo might get a day off. And he's been great this year, and DJ can play first. But Rizzo's going to be more of an everyday player anyway than anybody else in the infield. Except for kind of Falefa, because they really don't have another shortstop option except for Marwin, and he's been pretty good. So, even their guys off the bench have been pretty good. This team is really playing great, and there's not a whole lot to complain about. But, you know me, I like to look down the line. Because Judge, who did not accept the contract offer from the Yankees, will test free agency. So if the Yankees, who I'm sure will come back to him with another offer at some point this year, and specifically before the trade deadline, if there is no resolution, even if the Yankees up in years and money, and the way Judge has been playing, and you saw that moment with the kid in Toronto who the one fan caught the ball and gave it to him, and he got to meet Judge, and that's great. That's a wholesome moment that everybody eats up, and we all love it. And Judge is just a great guy, and he is the New York Yankees. But where is the line? All right, because the Yankees went 7 years. Or 6 years, sorry. I think it was 6 years. But Judge wants that big contract because he knows it's the only one he's ever going to get. Does he want 10 years, which was reported, 9 years? I would pay him as much money as I could to keep him for how many years I need to keep him for. And be like, listen, you're going to get more money than you can ever fucking dream of. But it has to be on my terms. I can't give you a 10-year deal. Not when, you just turned 30. But I can't have you playing until you're 40, 41. That's insane. And not at that kind of big money. But for me, because it's Judge, and maybe, you hope that they figured it out, and with the rotation that, they'll have him and Stanton on inevitably through the later part of their contracts. I would go 8 years just to get it done. But if I'm going 8 years, it's going to be less money. Or I don't know. I'm not a big contract guy, so I don't know if you can front load a deal. Like, I'd rather front load a deal now, and that way, when his shit years are coming up, well, he got most of his money by then. So, he might be playing for $15 million a year towards the end. If we gave him like a $50 million a year, front loaded contract. I don't know if they can do that, but that's the kind of workup I would do. Like, we'll pay you for your great years now because you're in your prime now. And, we hope that it results in a couple World Series and, and MVPs and things like that, But when you turn, 35, 36, when it starts to be on the back end, that's when the less money is going to, and that we can be more comfortable with that. That's what I would do. Because honestly, and I hate to say this, but if they can't come to an agreement by the trade deadline, it might be time to move him. But this is where it gets into that gray area, because moving him and you know, ripping off another team for their top prospects, because, you know, think of the package we would get back. I mean, you can just name your price. Think about all the fucking times teams came at us for our best prospects, you know, in trades and that, and for lesser tier players. Think about the haul we can get back for Judge. Now, I'm saying I don't want that to happen, but I'm saying is, what happens if there is no deal to make? Do you roll the dice with him and hope that that we win the World Series this year with him, and then you might have to pay him what he wants to keep him? Or do you say, hey, thanks for the World Series this year, good luck to you? And I don't know if they, I guess they can attach a draft pick to him. Not that any of that shit really matters, but, you know, it's something to think about, because I'm sure this is what keeps Cashman up at night, you know? And then it leads me to the other one. What do we do with Joey Gallo, who is starting to come around now, finally, hitting-wise, but he's going to be an impending free agent, too. So if Judge ends up leaving, do we just sign Gallo because we have him? And, you know, he can fill that role, even though he really can't. And he'd probably be a hell of a lot cheaper than Judge in less years, too. Or do we trade Gallo at the trade deadline because maybe the Yankees don't want to offer him a deal? Because if you bring back Judge, how much money are you looking to throw Joey Gallo? You see what I'm saying? So we have to really enjoy this year, because this is going to be a different team next year, one way or the other. I can't see Gallo coming back if Judge is here. I can see him coming back if Judge is gone, whether through trade or free agency. That's really the only way. Personally, I'd rather have Judge, who plays Gold Glove defense and hits for average. I know average doesn't matter. But he, you know, if he strikes out the same much as Gallo, or maybe even a little less, but at least he hits the goddamn ball for average, which means he hits doubles and shit, you know, instead of just striking out. And the OPS is higher. So it's something to think about, because we don't know what's going to happen. A lot of questions would have been answered if Judge took that contract offer, but he didn't. And he made it clear he's probably going to go to free agency unless the Yankees decide to really blow him away with a deal, but it doesn't sound like Cashman's going to do that. So, like I said, do we risk losing him to free agency to a team like the Mets and really just getting a draft pick? Because Cohen wouldn't give a shit about that at all. Or does he go to the Dodgers? Do the San Francisco Giants go after him because he's a West Coast guy? He says he wants to be a Yankee, but he wants to be a Yankee on what he deems is his terms, and he has every right. And, you know, I'm always a player guy, but I tend to try to think how the Yankees organization thinks, and they're not going to give him a 10-year deal. I really can't see it. I'll be very surprised if they do. So it's really, what are we going to do with Judge, and what are we going to do with Joey Gallo? And, you know, is Hicks somebody that can really rely on for the year? Now, LeCastro has been really good in situations, but you don't want him out there every day. But if Hicks gets hurt, then you're going to have Judge playing center. Stanton's going to have to play almost every day. And this is, you know, things can get tricky. So injuries really need to be managed this year. But I just keep going back to what are we going to do with Judge and what are we going to do with Gallo? Because those are two giant question marks for this season that need to be answered. Because, man, God forbid, you're trying to take care of Judge and then Gallo's a free agent and he gets signed by some other team. And now he's gone. And so your backup plan is gone. What do you do? Honestly, I would rather trade Gallo this year. If some team wants him, or there's a player that we want, and we can get rid of Gallo for him, and maybe a prospect or two, then I'm for it. Because, you know, half the time I don't think he can play in the city, and then, you know, sometimes he shows up. But he's hit or miss. Literally, hit or miss. And, you know, I know people don't mind the strikeouts, but I do. I do mind the strikeouts. I feel like strikeouts, I can go up there and strike out. Give me $1 million. You know, there's probably a 0.1% chance that I'll get a hit off of somebody in the major leagues, but you can pay me a hell of a lot less than him, and I can strike out just as many times as he can. So if I can do that, then he needs to be able to do better. And that's my point. You know, I don't understand, you know, you people are throwing out all these fucking analytics shit at me. And I look at it with the eye test and go, if he can't fucking hit, what good is he to me? Because he occasionally runs into one. Okay. He might end up with 40 home runs. And a lot of times that's not enough when I need more. Say what you want about Stanton and Judge, but they hit for average. You know, Stanton's like a 260 hitter and Judge is like a 280 hitter. And that's pretty good. When you're a 210 hitter, that's not good. I you can't justify that to me, no matter what. So, you know, if there has to be a guy moved, I'd rather it be him. Because really, I feel like they can get value for him. But we're going to see. We're going to see how they're going to ride this out. And we'll see what Cashman, you know, ends up doing. Really, we're just, you know, we have to enjoy the games now. But like I say, I'm always a down-the-line type of guy. I always try to look ahead. I always try to be two steps ahead of what's going on right now. Because, you know, if I'm thinking about it, maybe you are or maybe you're not. And I want you to be aware of what pitfalls lie ahead. So then you can start going, shit, you know what? That's a good thing. Maybe I need to think about this, or maybe I, you know, can I live with the fact that trading Judge might be the best thing for the organization, even though it might cost us in the short term? Or do we roll the dice and try to win the World Series as is, and then if he walks, he walks? I mean, to the fans, yeah, we would do that because rings are above everything, but we already know that Hal does not value championships like George did, because he's just content with making it to the playoffs because he already made his money. And it's, you know, we win, great. If we don't, well, we tried, you know, that's his attitude. And then if Judge leaves, it's like, well, look at all the money I saved. So, you know, technically it's like him winning the World Series and us losing. So it's just things to think about, because it's a long season. A lot of things can happen. Judge can be an MVP, you know, candidate, which will only increase his money. It will only increase what he's going to be asking for. So I know it's not my money. It's not your money. And we shouldn't be concerned with how much these players get paid. But we know that they use the luxury tax like a cap. And they don't want to go over the threshold, so all that shit matters. And you have to take that into account. Which, you know, sadly, you shouldn't. You should just be able to watch the game and enjoy it. It's amazing how I can't watch a game and enjoy it anymore without thinking about the ramifications of what's going to happen down the line. And that's partly my fault. But not to say I don't enjoy the games. I do get lost in them. But when the game is over, I start thinking about shit. And that's just the way I've always been in terms of being a Yankee fan, because not everything is, you know, rainbows and sunshine. Despite them having the best record in the league. How crazy is that? So we circled them back around. It's amazing how we do that. So the one thing we didn't get to talk about last week, because I, you know, because of my situation and I had taken time off, is the appellate court unsealing the 2017 letter. The letter, the big scary letter, right? Ooh. So we'll talk about this and that'll be the end. But so it turned out to be a whole lot of nothing, right? Astros Twitter was up in arms and this was going to be the smoking gun and they was going to show that the Yankees were worse than Houston and Houston learned it by them and all this other garbage and bullshit. And that one idiot reporter fucking guy, I can't remember his name right now, but you know who I'm talking about, who just, you know, constantly thinks about the Yankees, probably jerks off to them too. I don't know. That's just my guess. It's just, you know, it blew up in his face. And he got all his fucking Astro fans riled up and just blew up in all their faces too. And I love it. And, you know, so what did it come down to? So in 2017, there were, so I'll read the article here. All right. So in June 2020, a New York District Court ordered Major League Baseball and the Yankees to unseal a letter sent by Commissioner Rob Manfred to Brian Cashman in 2017 regarding rules violations by the club from 2015 to 2016. The Yankees appealed that ruling, but the ruling was rejected by the Second Circuit Court last week, or technically 2 weeks ago. The contents of the so-called Yankee letter, which is expected to be officially unsealed, it already has, reported by Andy Martino, which is funny because a lot of us don't like him, but you know he was right on this one. So the letter revealed that MLB determined the Yankees had used the video replay room to decode signs during the 2015 and 2016 seasons. The letter also revealed the team occasionally improperly used the dugout phone to relay decoded signs from the replay room to the dugout. Now, mind you, none of this was illegal yet. So, yeah, they were stealing signs, which was gamesmanship. Because this is what the Red Sox did when they won the World Series. And I didn't blow up about that either because it's no different than what other teams do. Now, you're going to say I'm a hypocrite if you're not a Yankee fan. And you're only half right. Technically, they didn't break the rules. Now, stealing signs is against the rules, but the way they had done it with electronics was not against the rules yet. It became against the rules as a result of this and the Red Sox with the Apple Watches and everything. So, all right, so they used the dugout phone to relay decoded signs from the replay room to the dugout. When a runner was on second base, the runner would pass along forthcoming pitch type to the batter. This is the same thing the Red Sox did, which is funny. And the Red Sox claimed the Yankees were using cameras from the YES Network to steal signs, but that was found to be false. So, here we go. All right, so they were fined $100,000 for the misuse of the dugout phone. So they were fined for the phone, for using the phone. Not for stealing the signs, not for using the replay room to decode the signs and then have a guy from second base relay it to the batter. No, they were fined for using the phone because it wasn't, you know, called to the bullpen. It was misuse of the phone. That's what they were fined for. That was the only rule they had broke. It's crazy, right? Thinking that far back, the way things are now, that's the rule they broke. So, when the league decided to crack down on it, so the Yankees had stopped after they got that fine. It turns out the Red Sox did not. And they basically did the same thing. And they did it to such a degree that they ended up winning the World Series in 2018. We all know what the Astros did. They took it really far. But we know that the Yankees had stopped doing it because they got fined. And you know, if you go after Hal's wallet, that's when shit ends. So you want to ask yourself, well, if they did nothing wrong, what was the big fight for? Now, apparently, the big fight to keep the letter sealed was just on the basis that by suing to have the letter unsealed, it set precedence now. So basically, this could happen to any team. And I'm fine with it. I'm honestly fine with that because I feel like teams shouldn't be able to cheat and then hide it, especially if they win a World Series. The league should not get away with the shit they do. And I'm sure that the shit the league does is way worse than any club has ever done. So I would love to know their dirty little secrets, but I don't mind it, but I understand why they did it. So in a sense, it was more of protecting themselves, for one. It's always going to be about self-protection. And two, kind of, in a sense, protecting the other teams in the league. I know that's kind of hard to believe, and it might sound ridiculous, but they are a brotherhood, the owners. So just because there's squabbles between them doesn't mean that the league breaks. So it's really, you know, kind of like, you know, how the NFL, they say they protect the shield. It's sort of the same way. So they really didn't want the presidents of other teams having to go down that road. Because if it happened to them, it could happen to you. And now it did. So really, it can happen to other teams, and it most likely will, which I'm fine with. Personally, I'm fine with it. Especially, you know, the fact that this letter turned out to be a whole nothing burger. But, you know, they're clutching to their pearls still, and it's, oh, they cheated, though. They're just not very good at it. Okay, well, technically, they were good at it. They just stopped. They stopped doing it. I mean, they weren't banging trash cans and, you know, looking at shit live feed. They were doing what they used the phone. They really did. That's really it. So, you know, it was a big, giant nothing burger, and I love it. And, you know, Passan tweeted that, and everybody was dunking on, you know, namely the Houston fans. I mean, even the Red Sox fans were quiet about it because they know it was the same shit they did. And, you know, they got a ring out of it, so I guess they can make fun of us for not winning a ring. So, all right, okay, I'll give you that. And that was it. So, you know, you gotta love the misery of other teams and their fans. And, you know, the longer you're a fan of this team, the more you just have to live with the fact that people hate us. And it's okay. And I really try not to engage with people who hate us. You know, if you're fans of another team and you want to talk and you keep it cordial, I'll talk to you. I don't hate you. But if you're going to be a fucking troll, you know, and there's a lot of people out there who make a living being a troll. And to me, that's like, dude, what are you, fucking 10? You're 14? You're living at home? I mean, some people who are professional trolls, I mean, they make a pretty good living off of it. So I guess I can see it. But to me, that's, what's the end result? You're going to be a troll for 30 years? A baseball troll? I mean, it's fucking pathetic. I guess by then you would have made your money and it won't matter. So maybe I'm the asshole. But, you know, there's people out there who just love the shit on us. And they do it in the most dumb fucking ways. And you probably know who I'm talking about. But I won't say his name because I ain't giving him the fucking clout. And, you know, so, you know, his fucking fans can come at me too. and, you know, those frat boys and shit too, those people. But, yeah, it's just, you know, when something like this happens and it blows up in their fucking face, I'll eat it up. I love it. Their fucking tears taste really good with my fucking steak. So, you know, that's about it. But it's just, it was nothing. So, you know, back to, you know, moving on. You know, now we're in the now. We're the best team currently in baseball. And I like to keep it that way. And the Mets are fucking really good now, too. So, are we looking at another Subway Series? 22 years after the last one? I remember that one. I was at game one. I really don't want to have to go through that again. Not that I'm afraid of the Mets. I'm just, you know, it's going to be another one of those. If you were alive back then, you know that the pressure was all on us and we had to win that series. And, you know, if we would have lost that series, we would have never lived it down. And so you had to win, and we did. But I don't want to go through that kind of pressure again. You know, I'm getting too old for this shit. And, you know, my health insurance isn't the best. So I don't want to have to go see a cardiologist for, you know, possibly losing to the Mets in the World Series. Oh, God damn, that would be the worst. That would be worse than 04 losing to the Red Sox. And it shouldn't be, but it would be because, you know, the Mets, they don't celebrate wins. They celebrate Yankee losses. That's what they celebrate. You know, so that whole fan base is just starving for us to lose just any game, a regular season game, and they all over us about it. I know it's the little brother syndrome, and, you know, 99% of the Yankee fans can give two shits about what the Mets do, but it seems like 99% of the Met fans only care about what the Yankees do. So it's weird. It's like, dude, your team is pretty good. Worry about them. Worry about your ace who can't fucking stay healthy. How about that? Anyway, we'll leave it there. That's my little rant for today. Like, again, I want to, you know, thank you for all everybody reaching out to me. It was very, very kind of you. And, you know, if you got pets, hug them. You know, they won't be here forever. They go too fast. And, you know, it's a sad thing when you lose it. But, you know, a lot of us have been there, and some of us haven't yet, and they will. And when it happens to you, I'll be there just as you guys were there for me, because, you know, we are a brotherhood here on a Yankees Twitter. And I appreciate you. So follow me on Twitter at Savage Empire Pod. Subscribe, follow, rate, review, share, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies, shout it from the rooftops. Just get it out there. And like I said, this show is nothing without you guys. You know, I do it for you. I do it for me because it's therapy, but I do it for you because you listen, and I appreciate it. So, like I said, I keep throwing it out there. If any of you ever want to be a part of the show, you know, if you want to come on, we can do an interview, let me know. We'll set it up, all right? I'm about to start a new job where I'm going to be on the road about 2 to 3 nights a week. So, being alone in my hotel room, I'll be able to have more time to do this. So, I can always set up a Zoom and we can always take care of it. So, like I said, if anybody wants to get involved, let me know. It'll be fun, and I would love to have you on. All right, and on that note, everybody have a good week. Enjoy the wins that are coming our way. We'll talk again real soon, all right? And as always, go Yankees.
Thanks for listening to The Savage Empire. Subscribe and leave a comment wherever you listen. Follow us on Twitter @ Savage Empire Pod. And of course, go Yankees.